This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Well, we have our next guest in studio with us, and it's a real pleasure to have him here because last time we had to have our interview over the phone because it was
bloody COVID,
deep in pandemic times. So thank you for joining us, Chris McHarris.
Bloody COVID indeed. Thanks, guys. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you here. And so when we spoke to you last, we were chatting about a previous publication, but you have a new one. But for anyone that doesn't know your name straight off the bat, where might they be familiar with all your energy and work so far?
Yeah. Well, this is actually really born out of Instagram. So it's a very modern day sort of project. It was a lockdown project,
yes.
Speaking of COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
thank you, COVID.
Thank you, COVID, for something. You know, I exhausted all the Netflix and I thought, look, let's do something else. And I've got a real interest in history and I love Melbourne. So I started this page and it's sort of blown up. It has about 100, I think it's got 110,000 followers.
Whoa.
Now.
Oh, well,
yeah, it's got sort of crazy.
Gosh.
Kylie included, which is, you know, that's the biggest thing for me, Kylie and Danny. So, yeah, so it's really cool. So that it kind of started like that and there was so much engagement and I thought it was only, it was made sense to turn it into a book. So,
yeah.
And how did the publishing company come along?
Well, they actually approached me.
That's
and
right.
And they said, we should turn this into a book.
Wow. That rarely happens.
I know.
A publishing company
I was
comes
so
to
lucky.
You. Yeah.
Yeah. So we started, we just talked about it, and a Scribe is a local Melbourne publishing house, I guess. And I thought, you know, that really makes sense, an independent business located in Brunswick, and I'm from the north as well. So it just sort of all fit together, and I thought, let's do it.
Yeah.
So I don't actually think we've said yet, but the book is Old Vintage Melbourne, and that is also the Instagram page. And the latest one you've brought out is 1960 to 1990. The previous book you released, What era was that looking at?
So that was – it wasn't really specific. I kind of tried to look – so really the thing is there are laws around copyright, you know, and everything after 1955 is a little bit harder to get permission.
Ah.
So anything before, the copyright's been extinguished. So I had all these incredible photos from the 19th century, the early 1900s.
Okay.
And then after that book did really well, I realized people love reminiscing the era they grew up in.
Yeah.
And I thought 60s onwards, it's great, but it's a bit harder to find the photos and to get permission to use them. So a lot of work went into that, and I just thought it had to be done because people relate to the 70s, the 60s. You know.
So how did you get around it?
I had to get written permission when I found the photos. Yeah.
Okay.
So and everyone I came across was really happy to get involved.
Yeah.
It's the photographer's work is getting out there. And
professional people, or was it a lot of amateur?
A lot of amateur.
Yeah.
A lot of professional. A lot of library. State library. Who else did I have? The National Archives. So if you're not using it for, you know, derogatory reasons, they're usually like, yeah, why not?
Right.
You can use it.
Okay. And how hard is it finding it? You know, like you were in lockdown, you were just setting it all up.
Yeah.
And then that first book came along. How hard was this one? Because like just the cars in it, I'm not a car person. There's the down along the beachfront, looks like a Sunday in summer.
Mm-hmm.
And the cars are magnificent.
I know what you're talking about as well. I actually think some of the St. Kilda shots are some of my favourite in there.
Yeah.
But what was hard about this was trying to find photos and just images that appeal to as broad an audience as possible, because everyone's going to look in it and think, oh, hang on a sec, why haven't you put that in there? So it's hard to – you've got to work with what's available for one and just try and appeal to as many people as possible. So I tried to stick to Melbourne – as central as possible, but I had to go out to the suburbs because when we think
Doncaster,
about
Doncaster, features fairly heavily.
Yeah, Doncaster. I featured a lot of the shopping centres.
Yep.
The Glen, High Point, you know, Northland. And I thought,
and how tiny they are compared to what they're like now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I tried to put some famous faces. You know, Paddy Newton actually called me after the first book because she told me that Bert had the first book on his Christmas wish list.
Wow.
Which was quite sad.
Well, yeah.
And so I've got a photo of Bert and Paddy in there from the 60s.
That's a fantastic one,
and,
yeah.
Toddy Goldsmith sent me a photo that's got her and Olivia Newton-John as when they were kids. So, yeah, some famous faces in there too.
Right, fantastic. Yeah. And how rewarding is that for you? You know, like where people are offering you these photos as well.
Oh, it's amazing. The fact that there's a whole community that's sort of formed around it and they're reminiscing and people are recognising themselves or their family members in the photos. It's just nice to be able to facilitate that.
Yeah.
For sure.
And, you know, what has it done to your life? You know, like in your wildest dreams, well, 3 years ago, you didn't even know that this was going to happen. So, two books now in 3 years. How are you coping with it? As in, you know, like, it's a wow factor and you wake up in the middle of the night and go, what's happened to me?
Yeah, it is pretty surreal just because I never planned on doing anything like this, but legacy is really important to me. So I love walking past the bookshop and seeing, oh, yeah, it's my name on there. So to see a dream or something you've got a passion in materialize, it's surreal and I really, you know, I love it.
Yeah, and the fact is that it was about a month or so ago on your Instagram, there was these piles of books and you were standing there, you were signing them. I can't remember what the little message said, but yeah, like just that alone would be a buzz.
Yeah, to know that people are buying them before it's even come out and want my signature, it's really lovely. You know, I try to think I don't have a big head or anything about it. I just like, it's nice that people, it's not about me, it's about the work. You know, people identify with the photographs and the nostalgia. So I love that.
Is there a favorite? You know, like, you know, because it's a hard thing, and I know you're asking, but there must be, you know, one where you look at it. Well, your first book, I love the one, and we just had Roan on before, who's doing an exhibition at the Flinders Street Station. You had that fantastic photo in the ballroom of those hundreds of people sitting, you know, like.
That's amazing.
And I actually gave the book to a 15-year-old nephew who likes acting, and I said, write a musical around what's going on in there. Are they a cult? Are they from another planet?
That is so
what's
cool.
That boy up the back, you know, waving right the up hat. The back? Yeah. And he's taken it on board. He's going to write
That's
a musical,
amazing.
Hopefully for his school to perform. Because it's such a really bizarre but fun photo. That's my favourite one from that one.
That's one of my favourites too. It's like the scene from The Shining at the end, you know, and you just look, and the fact you can, it's so crisp and clear and you can see all their faces and it's 1910. It was the year Flinders Street Station opened. So to think that room had the smell of fresh paint in it, you know, you just look at it and it's sort of the closest thing we have to a time machine, I think. That's one of my favourites too. In this one, I think there's one shot of Block Arcade, which is really amazing from the 60s, and there's a lady right in the front looking into a shop
glasses.
Dame Edna style glasses and like the beat, you know, the hive on her hair. She's very 60s looking.
Yeah.
And a relative of hers reached out to me on the Instagram saying that they know her, and she actually passed away only this year or late last year.
Oh, wow.
And she'd lived her life in Ballarat. Yeah, and she must have been in Melbourne shopping on the day or something. And that's fabulous because I work right across the road from Block Arcade. So I'm always going in there to get a coffee. So, do you know, often I walk in and I go from that entrance and I have that view of that photo and it's not lost on me. I just think of that moment. So,
I think it's also not lost on anyone who lives in Melbourne how important this has been coming out during pandemic times because you started this project when every Melburnian wasn't allowed to go out and experience their city. And there was so much love and nostalgia for the place as we slowly filtered back out into the world. And what you were saying before was really interesting about wanting to make sure that everyone felt sort of seen and included. Mm-hmm. You know, their suburb is listed, they can see a photo of something that might be familiar. Something that you mentioned to us just before we went on air was that there were certain communities that you found really hard, you found it really difficult to find photographic representation of them when you're going through the history.
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So one thing, what I mentioned to you guys before was I really struggled to find photos that depicted the queer community. And as a gay person myself, it was really important to include that aspect of Melbourne and Australian society in the book. And unfortunately, it's not in there. And in a way, not having it in there is a testament to the fact that, you know, look at how far we've come now, the fact that there is so much more visibility, the fact I'm here today and we're discussing it, you know. In the 60s and the 70s, it just wasn't that way. And a lot of the institutions or the way that, I guess, gay people would engage, or how the community engaged, was just secretive. You know, there was nothing going on out in the open. And, you know, you look it up and you'd look up in the state library archives and there's hardly nothing. There's a little bit more in New South Wales, but very little in Melbourne. And maybe Victoria was that little bit more conservative or whatever. Well, it is.
We were, I think, weren't we? And then we blossomed, time went on. Yeah.
Yeah. So, that I think that's an important thing to mention, just the fact that now, at least, you know, should document everything. And in a way, we say, oh, God, we take photos of everything these days. But it's good as well because in 100 years, young kids can look back and say, well, look at that. Like, we went from nothing and the community did blossom. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, perhaps if anyone's listening and does have photos from that time in their personal collection, maybe they can get in touch with you.
Please do, because I still have that Instagram account, which has got a huge audience.
Yeah.
And it deserves, you know, it deserves to be put out there.
Yeah. A really good idea to follow it through. Eve was talking about a coffee palace, the photo, which is spectacular when you see the interior of it. Mm. It's been pulled down.
Yeah, it's considered by many to be the greatest sort of architectural loss to Melbourne. It was a federal coffee palace. It was sort of the 500 Collins, something like that. It was sort of the end of Collins Street. It wasn't a fashionable part of Collins Street at the time. It was pulled down in the 70s. There were quite a few people that were petitioning to save it, but it was pulled down. And I don't know if you've seen what they put there, but it was this hideous, I guess, like office or apartment building, which has since been demolished as well.
Whoa.
And something else has been put there, which might be still mid-construction. But, stunning building from like the 1890s or something. Yeah.
It is a shame that a lot we have lost a lot. Although Melbourne's pretty lucky, we have held on. I had some people from England in town just over a week ago, and they were blown away. You know, because I was saying to them, "Oh, but, you know, like you've got so much a lot older buildings, but not of the quality of you know the Bourke Street Mall along on the David Jones Meyer side." Every building is beautiful within the mall there.
Yeah. Yeah, there's lots of loss, but, yeah, there's a lot that has been saved. And you can still, like, if you walk up Brunswick Street in Fitzroy, I know a lot of it's been graffitied and whatnot, and it kind of gives it its sort of its flavour as well. But they're all heritage buildings, you know. Like, there's – and they all have stories. I mean, if you go – if you're near where the county court is, you know, there's this big modern building that's the county court building, and there are some gates out the front that are the original gates from the 1800s that not many people know that they've kept there.
The old mint building.
The mint building?
Yeah, that's part of it. Is that what you mean?
It's next to there. Next to that.
Right.
I think one of the things I really love about this book and your Instagram account as well is that it's not just a collection of images of buildings and things like that. There's culture there.
Mm.
You know, like when I was flipping through your book just before, I was looking at an image of an old milk bar. And obviously, we still have a few standing, but, you know, things are getting heavily commercialized and we're moving towards, like, larger and larger supermarkets.
Mm.
But I was just like, this is, like, classic Australiana right there. Like, that is a really evocative image, and so many of them are.
Yeah, and it just transports you back to the time.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not just the building, you kind of remember exactly where you were. I was 8 years old. I was going to, my family's Greek, so they'd send me to Greek school on a Saturday and we'd go to a milk bar and get lollies and whatnot. And looking at these photos, it just takes me straight back. I feel like I was there yesterday.
Yeah. And the other one is a group of lads, probably 12 to 13, 14, and they're on the banks of the Yarra and they're very much 70 haircut.
Yeah.
And that's little groups of gangs of kids used to hang around along the Yarra there.
Yeah, I love it. And it's there's such great quality as well. Like the photos that I found, a lot of them are really great quality. And they're from the National Archives that probably haven't been out of storage since they were put in there. So it's great to just get them out. And
Are they happy to share them with you? You know, like they, you know, like...
They've been really good. Yeah, yeah. They've been great to work with. Some were a little damaged and they had to do a little bit of work to sort of get them sort of ready to be put into a publication. But yeah, everyone's been great to work with.
Right. Fantastic. Well, yeah. Congratulations. Is there a third in the plans?
I'm definitely thinking there should be, because yeah. I've thought what's in our veins as Melburnians, and I think food, wine, coffee culture.
Hey,
and there's
good,
a lot of history
one.
There. Yeah, so that's where I'm thinking
great.
For next. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, we'll see you for the next one.
Yes, yeah. We'll see you next time around. What's this one called?
This is Old Vintage Melbourne, 1960 to 1990.
Brilliant. I love it. Thanks for coming in. Lovely to meet
you.
Yeah.
You too. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much. We've been talking to Chris Materis here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Mag.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.